Black Sash, the Institute for Economic Justice, hashtag Pay the Grants, and the Social Policy Initiative have joined forces to bring attention to what they say is an unfolding crisis of significant proportions. They are concerned that government in recent days, new regulations released on Friday afternoon, which change regulations governing the issuing of the Social Relief of Distress Grant. Isabel Fry is the Executive Director of one of those groups, the Social Policy Initiative. Isabel, good morning.
Good morning, John, and greetings to your listeners.
How have the regulations changed, and why does that mean that people who might have applied under the old regulations won't get grants under the new ones?
Two important points. So firstly, the regulations had to change with the withdrawal of the emergency the COVID emergency regulations. We have a social Assistance Act, which governs social grants. The 350 Social Relief of Distress was brought through under the emergency regulations, and so that had to be migrated to be housed under the Social Assistance Act. Now, the problem with that is that it was really done at the last minute. To an extent, we'd been talking to the department for many months saying the emergency regulations are going to be withdrawn. What are you going to do about it? What we heard from the Department of Social Development was that they themselves had drafted regulations. They needed the consensus of National Treasury. National Treasury, for whatever reason, they've never been keen on handing money to the poor. But they sat on the regulations, and this has been left to the last minute. And that's where the one of the critical points arises, which is that people are now having to reapply. Recently, we've seen about 15.3 million applications for the Social Relief of Distress. About 9 million people have been approved. Every single one of those people are probably going to have to apply. The second point is the means testing. Now, the 350 Social Relief of Distress was introduced under the hard lockdown when nobody was allowed to work. There was a means test that was equivalent to the food poverty line of 624 Rand. That has now been dropped to 350 Rand, and that basically wipes out people who were able to earn a little bit of income, possibly get a child support grant for one of their children. All of that has been wiped out. And the reason why this is just so unacceptable, really, is that we know from all the politicians that because they fear giving money to the poor makes the poor lazy, they want to see the poor getting up and doing things for themselves. But here, if you use the 350 to a little bit, like the ice cream maker in Soweto that the president mentioned, this owner, you're going to lose the certainty of the 350 Rand. And John, that's what, for many people, the social grants are that. They're the certain income. If you're doing piecework, you don't know whether you're going to get the same piece of work tomorrow as you do today. So the regularity of the payment, the guaranteed payment, however little, has been some comfort. Now, we know from the NIDSCRAM surveys that have been sadly now wound up that that poverty creates an anxiety and mental health that attacks people's well-being, and it's particularly women who are the heads of the poorest households. So in all, it was bad planning, seems to be a reluctance and an uncaring state. There is a huge amount of confusion. In fact, yesterday I was receiving emails from people saying, do I have to apply? I sent them on to the head of SASSA, well, deputy head, and someone from social development. No response. So people are anxious. It's a month in which we've seen a huge amount of disaster across the country, not just the headline spots. And our state does not seem to be reaching out and caring. Instead, it's actually penalizing, it's putting in punitive measure for people who try to use this to springboard to a slightly better life.
Yeah, and let's go through some of those things that you've said to us, Isabel. I mean, if 9.3 million people applied and will have to reapply.
15.3 million people applied.
You said 9.3 million will have to reapply,
yeah.
you said. But, I mean, there isn't a single government department in this country, and the Department of Social Development is probably low down the list, low down the ladder of capability when it comes to processing 9.3 or 12.7 or 7.2 million applications. They simply can't do it. They don't know how.
Absolutely. And the technical interfaces have been problematic at best. The other point is that the application process is time-consuming and costly for people who have nothing. Now, government often says we'll remedy it ex post facto, after the fact. But for people, this is the only income they're getting, John. And I think you picked up on the absolute crisis that is. So if you don't get 2 months' worth of grants, you've got nothing. So the fact of month three, you manage to get a back payment, is not going to help you for those 60 days of starvation.
And you really believe that there is malice, perhaps the wrong word, but you believe there is intent in this, in that this is a deliberate attempt to relieve the burden on the fiscus. You phrased it slightly differently as wanting people to get up off their butts and work for themselves rather than rely on government. But 350 Rand is hardly reliance on government. And surely research shows that a significant majority of those people who do get grants, whether it is the Social Relief of Distress grant or the other grants, try to put that money to good use.
Absolutely. The research that my institute and many others have done shows, and the qualitative interviews as well, people don't want to be reliant on and handouts. They actually want the dignity of working. But on the other hand, there is an understanding that the Constitution creates a contract between people and state, and almost as a last resort, there should be an ability to look to the state. And now you asked an interesting question about whether it's intent, malice. We know in our engagements with the state, especially around a basic income grant, we've put all the research, we've shown the affordability, the state says no. And the argument, the reasoning is always slightly different, but it's a hard no. Now, I mean, I think if you look at the point about this current regulation, the one change that I didn't mention, which possibly goes to showing the positionality of Treasury, is that for the first time, these regulations have introduced a limitation saying that applications will be processed within the budget that National Treasury has made available. So that also raises concerns as to whether or not this is an opportunity
If you're late in the queue, then you don't get, because the amount of money that's being dispersed has reached the limit that Treasury has set.
Now, again, I mean, those of us with legal training know that constitutionally the state would have to justify why it's doing that. But again, and this is what I was thinking about before talking to you, the point is that that could be a court application, which would be another 6 months delay in terms of people accessing, the ones who've come in lately, the ones whose situations have changed and they're now are needing to apply for the grant. So there, in terms of the attitude of the state, it is always setting up hurdles and obstacles, which the most vulnerable have to negotiate. As you'll read, as your listener said about us sitting in cars and being watched by people, there is no lifeline that's spent. And Social Security is meant to be a safety net for the most vulnerable. It seems that we're intent on punishing people for being poor, which goes against any economic argument. It also goes against our future recovery, John. And I mean, this is the thing that our research is just demonstrating, which we can't understand why the state is not opening their ears to. We're strangling our economy by not having money circulating. Even if you don't do it for sort of moral suasion, we need, in any economy, there needs to be a high level of circulation of currency in order to promote growth. It's like oxygen. Now, what we're doing is, because of the highest inequality in the world we have in this country, money is being situated in a few hands, and it's gathering more money. It's not circulating and aiding production, aiding retail, consumption, transport. And finally, John, I mean, I think, as we know in this country, the other social services, many people argue you don't need to give income because the state provides social services, housing, education, transport,
except health. That it doesn't.
Exactly.
Sorry, Isabel, we have to leave it there. We're out of time, but thank you very much for chatting to us this morning. Isabel Fry, Executive Director of the Social Policy Initiative.